All right, we're ready to open God's Word then. It's the book of Leviticus. We'll open to chapter 1. as we explore the descriptions of the various kinds of offerings here in the beginning of Leviticus, just let me tell you in advance that there are going to be some things that, well, like I said this morning, I just don't have the answers to. We are shown by the Holy Spirit, for example, in the book of Hebrews, that the sacrifices were, one of their purposes was to point forward to the Lord Jesus and the various aspects of his atoning work, as well as his present work of interceding for us as a high priest for the saints. Since all of the details of the sacrificial process and so on have been prescribed by God, we assume that each detail of the ritual has some significance, either a practical significance or some symbolical or spiritual significance. Okay, you understand that God did not give any of the details of the service for no reason. So, for example, practical significance, I think, is the practice of cutting the animal up into pieces. All right, does it mean something that they cut the animal into pieces before burning it? Maybe it does and maybe it doesn't, but I'll tell you one thing, it would be hard to get an entire animal up off the ground and onto a chest-high altar if you did not cut it up into pieces. So maybe it's just a practical thing, okay? Cut it up, otherwise how are you going to actually offer the thing? However, the detail without blemish certainly has a spiritual meaning. Okay, it's not just a practical matter. Okay, a blemished animal will burn just as readily as a non-blemished animal. Okay, so definitely has some spiritual significance, which is fulfilled later on in the Lord Jesus. So I'm just going to say from the start that unfortunately some of the little secrets are going to elude us. For example, I have not been able to find out or figure out why do you give the hide of the animal to the priest? You know, what is he going to do with it? Not that they're not useful. You can make a wineskin out of it or a water skin. You can do something with it, okay? But with dozens of them, you know, burnt offerings go up a couple times a day and sometimes many of them. What's he going to do with all these animal skins? You know, do you sell them to make a living? Does it have something to do with Adam and Eve? They were covered with animal skins. Does this have some significance about covering? Okay. Why don't they just burn the animal with the skin on? I don't know. There must be some reason, but I'm sorry to say that I don't know what it is. I haven't learned yet, and it's one of those things, like I said this morning, it really bugs me not to know. But anyway, so let's begin our look at the book. As I said, the first seven chapters are basically just instructions. Okay, they're just procedure. The text here doesn't explain very much about significance. For that, we have to look elsewhere in the scriptures and let the Holy Spirit be our teacher. But right from the get-go, we should realize that God is not a God of confusion, but a God of order. Okay, this is how it is with him. Let everything be done decently and in order, not just haphazardly, carelessly, in a big hurry. Okay, when you approach a holy God, there is a decorum and a dignity and an order to approaching him, and he tells you this is how you're going to do it. You understand? So let's have a look at chapter 1. And this is the most common kind of sacrifice in the scriptures, simply called the burnt offering. The Hebrew word is olah, which literally means that which ascends, okay, that which goes up to heaven. Even today we say that a thing goes up in smoke, right? Okay, so this is the ascending offering, if you like. And that's what you're doing. You're turning the whole thing into smoke, which goes up to the Lord. It's completely consumed. Leviticus 1. It's completely consumed. There's nothing left. It's wholly given over to God and no longer of any use to you. Okay, so we're going to read chapter 1. And I also want to skip ahead a bit and read a few verses out of chapter 6, which has some more instructions about this offering. Okay, but for now, let's start chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "The Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tabernacle of meeting, saying, 'Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, When any one of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the livestock, of the herd, and of the flock. Okay, herd meaning large animals like oxen, and flock is smaller animals, sheep and goats. So let's start with the herd. Okay, if his offering is a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own free will at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord. And then he shall put his, or press, or lean his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it will be accepted on his behalf to make atonement for him. He shall kill the bull before the Lord, and that's by cutting the throat. And the priests, Aaron's sons, at this point Aaron has four sons, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood all around on the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Okay, so the worshiper, the man bringing the sacrifice, doesn't touch the altar or handle the blood. Okay, the priests do all that. I'm sure that what it means when it says the blood all around, it means that the blood is either scattered or splashed against the outside of the four sides of the altar. And we know if you ever see an artist rendering of this, that's what you see. You see the outside of the altar, has got stains of blood on it. I did read a couple of sources that said that the preposition here could just mean upon the altar. Okay, so they, when they, you know, on the top, on around the insides of the four sides where the fire is. Maybe that's so. You know, I don't know. I've never seen it done. I think it's the outside, I can only imagine, though, after a while it would smell, with the blood all. But nevertheless, I think that's what happens, and we'll see several times as we go through Leviticus that the remainder of the blood, the rest of it, which I can only imagine is a lot, is poured out at the base of the altar. Okay, the animal carcass is drained of blood, and it's poured out at the base of the altar. Okay, it is what it is. You can only sort of picture the scene in your head. Remember, though, they're in the desert, so it's sandy, and that the camp moves from time to time, so that's a good thing. Anyway, it is what it is. It's a bloody process. So, verse 6, he shall skin the burnt offering and cut it into its pieces. The sons of Aaron, the priests, shall put fire on the altar and lay the wood in order on the fire. Then the priests, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts, the head, and the fat in order, which either means they stack the pieces or they lay it out in the same shape as the animal originally was, in order somehow. Lay it in order on the wood that is on the fire upon the altar. Verse 9, but he shall wash its entrails and legs with water. Okay, so those are the parts that would be dirty with dung. Okay, so they wash that before that goes on the altar. And the priest shall burn all on the altar as a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. Now in verse 10, we move down to smaller animals. Okay, if his offering is of the flocks, of the sheep, or of the goats as a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring, so again, a male without blemish. Verse 11, he shall kill it on the north side of the altar, which is to the right if you're standing in the gate. So it's the same as previous, although we just assume that. Kill it on the north side of the altar before the Lord, and the priest Aaron's son shall sprinkle its blood all around on the altar. Same. Dash it against the side, I guess. And he shall cut it into its pieces with its head and its fat, and the priest shall lay them in order on the wood that is on the fire upon the altar. But he shall wash the entrails and the legs with water, same thing. Then the priest shall bring it all and burn it on the altar. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. Now we move down to smaller animals. If the burnt sacrifice of his offering to the Lord is of birds, then he shall bring his offering of turtle doves or young pigeons. The priest shall bring it to the altar, wring off its head, and burn it on the altar. Its blood shall be drained out at the side of the altar, and he shall remove its crop with its feathers. A crop is don't know if you know your bird anatomy, but a crop is where when a bird swallows, it's like a before the esophagus. It can store up a whole bunch of food right here before swallowing it down to its stomach. And I don't know why you discard this. I really would like to know. Again, this one part of the bird is picked out and thrown into the ash heap. Is it a dirty part? I don't know. Is it something like the entrails of the animal? I don't know. He shall remove its crop either with its feathers or the crop with its contents, it could be. Okay, it's something, you know, that like partially digested food inside. Cast it beside the altar on the east side into the place for ashes. The east side is the side closest to the door. Then he shall split it at its wings, but shall not tear it apart, okay, not divide it completely. Again, I don't know why it would, you know, it's a pigeon, you know, it's going to burn pretty well either way, whether you tear it open or not. But the Lord specifies this, and maybe it just has something to do with it being laid open. Okay, tear it open. Back in Genesis, when God made his covenant with Abraham, and he said, we gave him instructions to bring him some animals and slaughter them and cut them in half. He also brought birds, but did not cut them in half. He opened them up like this. So that's an ancient practice. So it's laid open. Going on, the priest shall burn it on the altar on the wood that's on the fire. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. Okay, now flip over to chapter 6 for a little bit more. Chapter 6 and verse 8. Your Bible might have a little heading that says the law of the burnt offering or instructions about the burnt offering, something like that. 6:8, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law for the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the hearth upon the altar all night until morning, and the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it, okay, so that it's totally consumed. It burns all night. And the priest shall put on his linen garment and his linen trousers he shall put on his body and take up the ashes of the burnt offering which the fire has consumed on the altar. This is in the morning he does this. And he shall put them beside the altar on the east, we saw as the side toward the entrance. Then he shall take off his linen garments and put on others and carry the ashes outside the camp to a clean place. Okay, here's an interesting example in Israelite practice of keeping the holy things holy. Okay, he does not wear his special priest garments out into the community. Okay, while he is in the tabernacle at the altar, he dresses himself specially for that task of ministering to the Lord. That's a clear illustration of this is the holy, this is the ordinary, okay, the common. Okay, and look how it says even they carry the ashes out to a clean place. You know, there is a designated place. You know, they don't just flush them down the cesspool, right? There's even a special place that's set apart, holy, for them to take the ashes of the burnt offering for. It's not just the regular dump. Verse 12 says, the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it, and shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order on it. And he shall burn on it the fat of the peace offerings. Peace offerings we'll get to later in chapter 3. A fire shall always be burning on the altar, and it shall never go out. Okay, so back in the first chapter, when it said that they're going to put fire on the altar, it pretty much just means they're going to add wood to it. You know, they're going to stoke the fire, you know, maybe knock the ashes down, take care of the fire. Okay, you're not lighting a new fire every time or several times a day. Okay. All right, so that's the text. Just a few observations. And if you can, I want you to think also in three parallel lines as we talk about some of the details here. Number one, think about how do we, as we just did, how do we give something to the Lord? Okay, how do we give something to the Lord? Secondly, think of how we're told in Romans 12 to render ourselves, our bodies, up as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. Okay, what's the parallel between that and this practice? Okay, so how do we give a gift? How do we give ourselves? And then thirdly, of course, think about how Christ, Ephesians says he loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Okay, that's Ephesians. Christ gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Okay, the book of Hebrews says he offered himself without blemish to God. Okay, he is the perfect, he's holy, harmless, and undefiled. Okay, a couple of things about the burnt offering then. chapter 1 and verse 3 said that the offerer is supposed to bring it of his own free will. Okay, of his own free will. This is how Christian giving ought to be. And really, our offering can only be acceptable if it is of our own free will. The Christian is told to give, in 2 Corinthians, not reluctantly or by compulsion. Okay, not under orders, okay? Don't give reluctantly, hesitantly, or under compulsion. Give of your own free will. Okay, either give thanks with a grateful heart, or else don't bother, okay? Offer your gift, the scripture says, according to your ability. Okay, the 2 Corinthians says each man should decide in his heart what to give. And that, you know, that brings me to my next point. You know, the reason we went through three paragraphs like this with a bull, a sheep, and then a bird is because no matter who you are, okay, whether you're rich, poor, or in between, you are able to bring God an offering. Okay, he welcomes everybody in every social class to his altar just the same. Okay, the poor man does not get excluded because he can't afford to bring the most expensive gift. And God, you see, he doesn't demand, bring me a bull. Okay, most people can't afford a thing like that. You know, it would be a very difficult hardship if you were to bring a bull whenever you wanted to bring the Lord an offering. Okay, if you can't afford a bull, then bring a kid of the goats or bring a lamb. And if you can't afford even that, well, then bring me a dove or a pigeon. There's one place where it says if you can't even afford a pigeon, you know, you really have to be the poorest of the poor. The person could bring a quart of wheat, okay, a quart of flour. Okay, even the poor, though, can bring a gift that will be acceptable to the Lord, and all of them say a sweet savor, okay, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Okay, it's not just the richest gifts are considered pleasing to the Lord. Every man's gift is a pleasing aroma. The widow who puts in her two nickels, right, pleased the Lord. Okay, and that's just the thing. God's family is open to everybody, regardless of their situation in life. The church is not ever supposed to be something that you have to buy your way into. Okay, come freely. That being said, you should also see that every class of man is expected to bring something according to their ability. Okay, something that honors the Lord who has blessed you according to whatever measure he has blessed you. For a rich man to bring the pigeon, or, you know, for him to bring a quart of wheat, you know, that's not really a suitable gift, you know, honoring to God, is it? Okay. In our giving, both of our monies and giving of ourselves, okay, our bodies, like as living sacrifices, like the Romans says, we are aiming of our own free will to honor the one who's the source of all our good things. And we ought not to consider giving a gift to the Lord a hardship. And unfortunately, that's a common sense that people think that when we pass the plate, or, you know, when we ask them to contribute in some way, it's like we're demanding that they, you know, pay up, I guess. And people say, you know what, I'm a little tired of paying up all the time. We pay taxes, we pay tolls, we pay tithes, you know, it's like constantly we have to pay and pay and pay. No, wrong. Okay, you miss the whole idea then. You want to honor the Lord. Don't you want to honor the Lord by presenting him something? Okay, something that's according to your ability. You know, people who say, well, I can just go into my backyard and, you know, pray among the trees. Okay, but you're not presenting him a thing. You know, keeping to yourself. Some people say, well, I can stay home and worship God all by myself at home. Okay, staying to yourself and being a congregation of one isn't bringing him a thing either. Okay, you see that God has ordained what we talked about last time, Korban, it's called. Okay, the God has ordained sacrifices, ordained that we present him with something. We honor God by giving him our best, something unblemished. So that brings us to that phrase, a male without blemish. Okay, a male in this case because it's the strong, okay, the potent one, the healthy. Okay, you give for this purpose. There's female animals later, but a male, you know, symbolizing the more vigorous. Chapter 22 about the has a couple of verses about the unblemished animal. Chapter 22 says, whatever has a defect you shall not offer. It will not be acceptable on your behalf. Animals that are blind or broken or maimed or have an ulcer or eczema or scabs, you shall not offer to the Lord. You shall not offer to the Lord what is bruised or crushed or torn or cut. So, I mean, imagine, okay, this is the economy of the ancient times, right? Wealth consisted in your animals. Okay, you could say, well, this animal is a, you know, a substandard one. I'm not going to get top price for it anyway. Let's take it to the tabernacle and we'll just offer it. Okay, and that'll cover us with the Lord. Okay, that's the kind of thing that you find the Lord very displeased with later on. Okay, and it's very similar to the kind of half-hearted service that I think we have to confess sometimes we offer to the Lord a lot of times just our second best. Let's just reaffirm that God the Father and His Son, they're worthy of our very best, aren't they? Okay, it's a shame when we just let God have the remnants, the leftovers, the extras, just a few minutes, something haphazard, spur of the moment that we threw together, kind of whatever I feel like service. Okay, our service, no matter what it is, Sunday school teaching, evangelism efforts, personal prayer time, kids club, movie night, a youth outing, okay, should be planned, voluntary, and thoughtful and regular. Okay, it's a gift that you present to God. Give Him a good one. Okay, it's not just to check your box that you did your service here at church. Okay, we're bringing a gift to God. All your service is an offering that you render to God, so give Him a good one. Notice also that all of the animal sacrifices are domesticated animals. So one thing is they're tame and innocent and docile animals. Okay, it's a very interesting picture of Christ. The ox is a work animal. Okay, and Christ is he bore burdens, he labored hard. The sheep or the lamb, an innocent animal. The dove, okay, harmless as doves. That ought to be our own character too, okay, holy, harmless, and undefiled, pure, peace-loving, self-controlled. Okay, that ought to be also the nature of our own character and our own gifts toward God. Also, all of these animals that get offered are food animals. Okay, even turtle doves and young pigeons. Okay, young pigeons, it specifies because people eat the squabs, but they don't eat the full-grown, I guess full-grown pigeons are no good, but young pigeons are okay. So again, you're surrendering something that could have been some use to you. Okay, it would have, you're giving it up to the Lord. You're not waiting till here's this old, granddaddy pigeon that's not useful for anything, so let's just take that and we'll get rid of it at the temple. No. Okay. Being domesticated animals, they cost the owner something, like I said. You don't just go out into the wild and bag a gazelle and bring that for an offering. Okay, that's a clean animal. You can eat it, but you can't just bring, you don't just go out into the wild and hunt something. Okay, you are bringing something that you own, something that you raised. Okay, it's a self-sacrifice. You're giving of your own resources. All in all, the idea is that a gift to the Lord is acceptable according to what one has. Okay, that's a phrase out of the New Testament, that your gifts are acceptable according to what you have. Everybody can bring something. Okay, God doesn't judge your gift based on what you don't have. Okay, that's in the New Testament too. Acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he doesn't have. Each person can bring something, and the Lord will say, I will accept that on your behalf to make atonement for you, a sweet savor for the Lord. Okay, later on we're going to talk about sin offerings, which are specifically for the purpose of making a reconciliation for sin. But you already saw here in, what was it, verse 4, chapter 1, verse 4, the burnt offering does have an aspect of atonement. Substitution is a very prominent theme here in the symbolism. By me laying my hand on its head, pressing my hand down on the animal's head, the word seems to indicate that the person leans heavily, you know, supports himself on the head of the animal. It's a symbolical gesture of showing that this beast is my substitute. Okay, I am transferring my identity, if you please, to this animal, and it's being accepted on my behalf as a substitute for me. Now that act makes the whole rest of the procedure that follows very sobering. Okay, the slaughtering and the skinning and the cutting it up and the laying it on the fire. Okay, you just imagine the impact of standing there and watch these men do their work. Okay, watch the whole spectacle. Watch the throat cut and watch the animal bleed out and its, you know, eyes glaze over and die, and then have its skin taken off. And, you know, I wonder at the significance of that. Is the idea to represent complete nakedness? It's having its covering removed. And, you know, Adam and Eve, like I said earlier, you know, they put on the skins of animals to hide their shame, to hide their vulnerability and their nakedness. By all rights, they should have been driven out of the garden naked with nothing. But God had mercy on them. Okay, God covered their shame. But in fact, everything, you know, the scripture says everything lies open and naked before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. You know, we really have no defense against the Lord. We are completely exposed before him. And this animal, maybe this is the symbolism, the animal bears the judgment and the shame of being stripped bare while the worshiper remains covered. And so it's a substitute in that sense. Okay, it's a judgment. Well, regardless, okay, well, you know, watch the priests do their butchery, doing their, it's a gruesome job, right? They're cutting it open, cutting it apart, they're washing the legs. You know, here comes a guy, he's got a pair of legs in his hand to put them on the altar. And the loops of the entrails and things, they're going to go wash them in a basin and, you know, going to put this stack of stuff on the altar. You know, it's visceral. It's sobering. It would be quite solemn, don't you think? I don't know how long the process takes, but, you know, it doesn't just happen, you know, lickety-split in a minute. You know, maybe 20 minutes or something, I don't know. But just to think, 20 minutes ago you had this living, breathing, unexpected, innocent animal. And now what do you have? You have this, you know, hideous wreckage that's going up in flames on the altar. Compare that to what the prophet says about the Messiah, that it says that many were alarmed at him. Okay, many were astonished, since his visage, right, his face was marred more than any man. His form was disfigured beyond the likeness of a man. And the scripture says, so he shall startle, alarm many nations, and kings will shut their mouths at him. Okay, Christ was a horrible thing to look upon when he was hanging on the cross. And I think maybe there's a parallel there between this wreck of an animal and the wreck of a man who died on the cross for our sins. Okay, he entirely gave himself over in our place. Entire consecration to God is the symbolism here. Okay, Christ offered himself up without spot. That's what, you know, we begin with the burnt offering. The burnt offering signifies complete self-surrender. And nobody but nobody has done it the way that Christ did it once for all on our behalf. Perfectly surrendered to the will of the Father. And you know that scene in Gethsemane where, don't you know, I could have called 12 legions of angels. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, this is why I came into the world. For this hour, Father, glorify your name. Okay, this is what burnt offering is all about. It's about self-surrender. It's about giving up yourself. It's about acquiescing to the Father's will. Okay, consider what I said earlier about how do we How will we plan how to give? Whether that's a monetary gift, whether that's our service, how do we plan how to give ourselves, our bodies, a living sacrifice to Him? Okay, we want to see God is worthy of our complete self-surrender, our acquiescence to His will. Give yourself first to the Lord, right? That's in the New Testament. Paul is, remember Wednesday night I talked about the collection that Paul was taking among the Greek churches for the Jerusalem saints. He's talking about the Thessalonians, how they gave, and he says that about them. He says, in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, okay, they're poor people, abounded in the riches of their liberality. I bear them witness that according to their ability and even beyond their ability, they were freely willing. They implored us with urgency that we would receive their gift and the fellowship of ministering to the saints. Okay, please take this and take it back to Jerusalem. And verse 5 says, not only as we had hoped, they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. Okay, you see, they gave themselves first to the Lord, self-surrender to the Lord. Okay, Father, everything we have comes from you. We want to give back to the saints. This is our debt. We owe it. Gave themselves first to the Lord. So then when Paul comes by and says, I'm taking the collection for the saints, okay, then they gave. This is how their love for the Lord, their self-surrender to the Lord manifested itself in giving the gift for the saints, okay? And Paul calls their financial offering a sweet aroma, an acceptable sacrifice to the Lord, and precisely because it was that first, it was a self-surrender to God first. That is how we will imitate Christ in all our giving, in whatever form that takes, whether that's a tangible thing or an intangible service, okay? Let us offer ourselves up to God. That means that we acquiesce to His will. It means of our own free will, right? Not under compulsion, but of our own free will, we give up whatever is sinful. Okay? Burn that up. Bad habits, worldly desires, sinful passions. We give that up. It means of our own free will, we surrender whatever God has not seen fit to give us. Okay? Maybe that's good health. Maybe that's happiness in the home. Maybe that's success in a career. Okay, if God has not seen fit to give us, then let's not make an idol of it. Let's just say, you know, Lord, I will comply with your will. And then not only do we comply with His will, we're cheerful in doing so. And then having done so, we can go away with peace. Okay, I'm bringing these things to the altar, Lord. I am surrendering them to you. This is my gift. I give you myself. Now, you know the hymn says, take my life and let it be consecrated. And it's very interesting how that hymn dismembers you, so to speak, almost like a burnt sacrifice. Take each part. Okay, I offer all to you. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Right? Take my feet. Take my heart, take my voice. Okay, you know that song. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my will. Okay, take my own free will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. And a fragrant aroma. Let us be a fragrant aroma, pleasing and acceptable to God. All right, saints, we will pray, and may our prayer also be acceptable to Him. And let's go to our Father thoughtfully and willingly and not hurriedly. Let's give Him our best. Almighty Father, we thank you for the peace of this evening. We thank you for the time to study. We thank you, Lord God, for the picture that you have given us, Lord, of self-sacrifice and willing service. Lord, we want to offer you ourselves. We want to come of our own free will and place ourselves, Lord, into your service. We know there is no better place to be than in the center of your will. We recognize, Father, that you love us, that you give us all that we have and all that we are. And please help us, Father, to surrender more fully, wholeheartedly, cheerfully to you. All the things that we have and hold on to, Lord, help us to let them go and to give them up to you. And we've sung tonight, Lord, that we would rather have Jesus than all of these things that the world can afford to us. And I pray, Father, that that will be more than just words, that it really will be the motto of our life, Lord, that we can't give away too much, Lord, for your sake. Help us to honor you with our bodies, with our thoughts, our hearts, our service, our days, and our hours. We love you, Lord God Almighty. May our prayer and our service be acceptable in your sight. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.